Good morning. It's good to be with you. Happy early Christmas. Merry early Christmas. Christmas is next week. You guys all know that, right? Next Sunday. The church is open. We don't have holiday hours on Sunday. So come, continue to come and celebrate with us. It's good that all the collegians are back and then some. Thank you. They're on winter break now. Everyone's finally done with finals, right? Some people have graduated and finished. Congrats, Nate. Pray for our college students to continue to walk in God's word and to follow him even as they sleep all day and hibernate, what it seems like, for the next 3 to 4 weeks or 5 weeks for some of you. I'm going to put a plug in for our winter retreat. For those of you that have not signed up yet for our winter retreat, it is next week. Sign up today or else the price goes up. Okay, so don't forget to sign up if you want to come talk to me or sign up on the blog that we have there, all right? Let me review a little bit for us. We've been going through the Search for Christ kind of theme this Advent season. This idea as we kind of look through different stories of how these characters searched for Christ and how kind of the message of Christ has been shared with them and given to them. So we looked at the Magi as they kind of intentionally searched and changed their hearts in that way. Herod, kind of a darker side of the story, how he kind of missed that search. Simeon, how he kind of studied that search and kind of looked at Scripture, understood what was to come and kind of was fulfilled by seeing Christ, the baby. And today we're going to look at the story of the shepherds in which they were approached in a different way, and how we might proclaim and how they were proclaimed to them the story of the coming of the Christ and how they acted upon that as well. So I'm going to kind of jump in really quickly here. There's a bit to kind of cover this morning. We're going to kind of walk through the scripture passage that we read and look at some of these details. There's a lot here to kind of unpack and to look at. It's really enriching, I think, to see God's word and to have it come alive and to teach us some amazing things here. So if you want to keep your finger, your place in Luke 2, we're going to kind of sit there this morning and kind of look at it together. We read it already, but let me just read verse 8, kind of sets the picture for us. We're going to look at some background here before we get started in the main points here. Verse 8 says, "In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night." And it kind of this kind of frames our setting for us. So if you would imagine with me what it might mean to be a shepherd, especially out in the field, trying to watch their sheep. It's dark. There are no street lights in the field. And so you can imagine these shepherds, maybe they're sitting around a campfire. You know, maybe the fire gives them a little bit of light, some warmth, in being able to do that. And they had to keep watch. That was their job. They had to watch the sheep, protect the sheep, make sure the sheep didn't stray, go away, don't want to lose any of the sheep because they were important, part of their job. And they had to work. And I don't know about you, but I'd had a hard time, you know, not falling asleep, keeping watch over something that probably didn't move that much at night and kind of being half, you know, awake here. And so these shepherds are working at night. And there's a lot of understanding here that this is probably not the most luxurious job in the world. These were kind of more common folks who did work. They kind of probably had the lower end of the totem pole here, if you will, at their careers in watching sheep. They had the night shift, so that was pretty tough on them. If you think about people kind of like you and me, you know, common people, maybe a little bit lower middle class in their job situation here. And many researchers actually comment that these were very humble people. People of society that were maybe easily forgotten, maybe not thought about. You know, they kind of just did their work and that was it. And we often sing about kind of lowly shepherds, humble shepherds. And this is kind of the picture that I want to paint for us. These were people that, again, were not popular, were not famous at all. And culturally speaking, this talks about kind of the humility and the theme in which Christ came. That these were humble people in this humble state of Christ being born in a humble situation in a manger. And so it kind of talks to that, and that's kind of the theme here that Luke gives to us. And you have to think about this. Christ didn't come, or the announcement of Christ didn't come to kings, to city leaders, to those that were kind of high in society, you know, that might have influence. But they came to these shepherds, again, to humble people, kind of the common folk here. And this is what God chooses. This is how God chooses to arrive or announce the arrival of his son. If you look further with me, the next line, again, thinking about how dark it might be and how still and calm the night watch could be, all of a sudden, in verse 9, right, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And then you got to think about this unimaginable, unexpected kind of presence that all of a sudden shows up in the middle of the night in a dark place. Now, it's really intensely bright. I don't know how bright the glory of the Lord looks like. It's probably way more beautiful and bright than I can ever imagine. So I can't even put myself in the shoes of a shepherd, you know, half asleep, startled by this intense light, and all of a sudden something starts talking, right? Probably a deep, loud voice, you know, saying something. And so, you know, obviously they would be afraid. They would be scared because, you know, I got caught sleeping on the job, maybe. And all of a sudden, this thing appears before me. And the angel says this in verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And this angel says this. He gives this message, this very important message of the birth of Jesus. They are told where to go and how to find this so-called Savior. But wait, there's even more that happens. Verse 13 and 14 say this. "Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased.'" So it's not just now one angel, but now a choir of angels, a multitude of angels, bombarding kind of these shepherds here, singing at the top of their lungs, worshiping and praising God and saying all these things about how great God is. Again, kind of unimaginable, right? We go from one angel making a statement, maybe a proclamation, to a multitude of angels now praising God, worshiping in front of these shepherds. And it's brighter than probably day, you know, right now. What would you do if you were the shepherds? Would you be afraid? I'd probably be afraid. Would you be amazed? Would you think, how crazy is this? What is this that's happening right now? And I think as I looked at this and studied this, and I hope that, you know, kind of painted a picture of this marvelous setting, that there are angels speaking of the praise of the glory of God. I hope that you can kind of see that. This announcement was glorious, was grand, hopefully amazing, and definitely joyous. So our first point this morning as we kind of unpack this message is that the angels proclaimed with. And I'm going to look at four kind of sub-things that fill their proclamation. What did they say exactly? What is it that they told the shepherds? And the first thing here, probably the most important thing, is that this was about salvation. They proclaimed with salvation. The good news in verse 10 that they talk about is this idea of salvation, that Christ had come for this purpose. The good news here, this word in the original language, is where we get gospel from. And this is kind of the beginnings of that word, of what that means, gospel. The proclamation was the beginning of God's salvation for his people. The message was good because this is, again, the plan in which God had started, to save his people. There's a parallel passage in Matthew that says this, the angel talking to Joseph, saying to him that Mary will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's very important to understand in this idea that their message, the message of the angels, was similar to this. Jesus will save his people from their sins. Again, this is the goal. This is the purpose of why Jesus came. And this is the thing in which the angels begin with. They start with this idea that this is good news. The second thing here is that it is a proclamation with joy. They say this is great news, good news of great joy. And this good news actually leads to great joy. This is the reason why they are proclaiming this message. They can rejoice because salvation has come, has been born this day. Jesus had been born. The plan of God had begun. And this is something to celebrate. This is something worth celebrating. And this is much more than just happy emotions. Yes, the birth of Christ is a happy occasion, something to celebrate, something to cheer about. But more so, this is now a meaning, the greater meaning of eternal joy, of lasting joy. There's so much more than just this temporary happiness that we might have. Jesus' arrival signifies that everlasting joy can now be obtained. We can have an everlasting relationship with God that gives us joy at all times. In both good and bad circumstances, joy has come. Joy has been found in the birth of Christ. And also, especially in the salvation that he brings. So kind of join those two ideas together. Salvation and joy. The third thing here is that the angels talk about a connection. There is a personalization that happens in the message in which they speak. Verse 11 says this, "For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And the very important two words here, "for you," is so empowering here. Not just good news of great joy, which we hear very, very often, which might even go over our heads a little bit. Oh yeah, I've heard those phrases already. But this idea of the angel speaking directly to the shepherds, they say in their statement that it is for all people, but these small words here include the shepherds. They personalize this message. They connect with the shepherds at this point. And I would say that this is now not just a proclamation, but also an invitation. An invitation for the shepherds to join in with what is happening at this moment. That they're just not just proclaiming good news of great joy, but that there is a Savior for them, for all people. And just as much as it was for them, this is also a message for us. In this moment, the angel personalizes the message of Christ's birth so the shepherds could participate. And we too, this morning, have the opportunity to participate in this same message too. As we proclaim Christ, as we live for Christ, as the angels talk about this, what might we do? Will we choose to believe in this message? We have a chance to believe in it. We have a chance to put our faith in what they're saying, in a Savior. Is this good news of great joy to you? Have you thought about that yourself? The fourth thing here that the angels proclaim is with worship. Verse 13 talks about the multitude of the heavenly hosts. We looked at kind of that picture of just a choir of angels singing at the top of their lungs about who God is and what he has done. They go a step further here in proclaiming worship to the one who is responsible for this message, responsible for the Savior of the world, and that is God. They give God the highest glory. They put him in the highest array. He deserves the greatest praise because of this birth. It's not about the angels, maybe not even about the shepherds. It is about God providing a way. This is the good news, and this is the joy in which we ought to have, in which they have, as they proclaim this message. How amazing is that? Have you paused, especially in this Christmas season, to give praise and worship to God alone for bringing his Son to us, the birth of a Savior? The angels knew who deserves the greatest praise for sending Jesus, and I really hope that we also take the time to recognize who deserves all praise and all glory, especially as we sing some of these Christmas songs. I hope they don't just blow by you, but we take a moment to realize the words that were sung, the words that we sing, and how much they mean to us, and how much they give glory, or they should give glory, to God. So what do you think the shepherds did? Did they just stand there with their mouths wide open, staring to the sky? The angels are gone now. Hope they weren't frozen in fear. Thankfully, no. They did not just stand there. They did something about it. As we look down further, I want to read again verse 15 to 18. If you follow along with me, it says, "When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them and about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. So the next major point is that shepherds proclaimed with something too. And again, there are four things that I want to bring to light here as well. The shepherds first proclaimed with belief. They proclaimed with belief. Verse 15 talks about this very short phrase that says, "The Lord has made known to us." There is a recognition by the shepherds about what has been told to them. It is more than just an angelic statement that is made to them. It's more than just this grand gesture, this proclamation, this choir of angels. They know who the source is. They know where it comes from. They believe in that. They recognize that it is God that has spoken through these angels, through these great signs and wonders. It's more than just the signs and wonders, in fact. This tells us of their belief and even a step of faith because of what is said to them, because of what they do. And again, it's unimaginable how intense of a message this was. Right? This is angels and choirs of angels. And that, it might be enough just to believe because of just the intensity of that. But I love that Luke kind of pauses this moment and says, the shepherds realized where this comes from, the source in which they were spoken to, and it represents God. Right? It is God that was speaking through the angels. The angels represented God in this way. Again, so through this simple statement, it reveals such an importance of belief and faith, not just in the signs and wonders that were given to them through the angels, but in the one who had sent these signs and wonders, the one who was speaking to them, the one who has sent this Savior. Second thing here, the angels or the shepherds do, is that there is confirmation. I love this little snippet here that they talk about in verse 15 as well at the beginning. If we look again at it, it says that there is the shepherds speak to one another. There is an encouragement that happens between them, that this awestruck wonder that they have is confirmed with one another, that they have the opportunity to encourage one another, to look at one another and say, yes, this actually happened. That there is a reality that they have with each other as they confirm this message, this joy that they have. You know, maybe there was a realization that something had changed in them, that they were given some important thing to do. And so they kind of go together, and they do this together. So it's a kind of a cool picture of maybe even us as believers together, as the church coming together to confirm what we believe, to confirm what we might know. And the shepherds kind of do this in this kind of small thing. The third and probably an important aspect is that there is obedience in their proclamation. They proclaim with obedience. Verse 15, or 16, I'm sorry, starts out with saying this. So they came in a hurry. And it wasn't just signifying that they ran. They might have run, we're not sure. But more so that they immediately turned and did something about what was told to them. They acted upon the proclamation. They acted upon the message that was given to them. I love how the shepherds not just accepted what was said, perhaps out of fear, you know, maybe ran away from the situation. But they stood and believed and understood and obeyed and did something to go and search and find. And this idea of search is very important here in this obedience, because the angels don't give them kind of this turn-by-turn navigation like we do with Google Maps or something like that, right? But that there are simple clues. The angel said, in the city of David, there will be a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And there are some things here, but they still have to go search. They still have to obey in that way. And it's very interesting that they go and are willing to do that. Again, not every day is there a baby in a manger. So that's pretty unique, especially maybe in Bethlehem. But they go and do it anyways. They go and search, and they obey in that way. This speaks again to their belief and their faith, but also so much of it is in their obedience to go right away. They don't pause and make a plan and find the best route, how to get there the fastest, but they kind of just go, the Bible says. They just go in a hurry to go look and to seek. And such a significant step of faith in this way by the shepherds to do this, to obey in this way, to search and even and succeed in finding what is said. And that leads us to our fourth point in proclamation by the shepherds, is that there is understanding that is given. Verse 17 says this, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. What this shows us is that the shepherds understood what's been said to them by the angels, which is worthy of joy, worthy of praise. But the shepherds, take what they have heard, obey and search, and then go and tell of their results as well. This is understanding in action. This is understanding in the work that they do to know, to obey, and to understand. Again, it wasn't just following directions, where to go and what to do, but there was a search in that. And the message, this message that they give to them, this understanding was important because it leads us to know that they understood a clear message that was given to them, and they were able to recreate that correct message of good news, of maybe even the beginnings of, again, this gospel message that they might have to others. They proclaim that. And so we see this passing on of joy from the angels to the shepherds now, because they are so joyous in realizing that what is said to them of the message of the angels is now made known. I love how Luke talks about, again, he kind of describes what they find. They find exactly what the angels had said to them, a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. He actually repeats that. And it's very important to understand that as they realize that connection. Again, the angels, what they said is true. They go and they search and they find, and they know that to be true. And so the whole statement that there is a Savior, that the Messiah has come, is true. And we see that this happens, or this is correct, even more so, because it is proven in the next verse. Verse 18 says this, "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them about this child." Other translations here talk about how the people were amazed at what was said to them by the shepherds. People were in awe of the joyous announcement. And so we see again that joy being passed on even more so from angels to shepherds and now to the people of that region, to the city. Others were joyful because of what the shepherds share. They're willing to share what was said. They're willing to obey. They were willing to follow. They were willing to seek. And now they are willing to share boldly what was told to them, what was said to them at the very beginning. In the shepherds, there is a clear example of what to do with joyous, good news. And I hope that we can do the same in that way as well. Our last main point this morning, and hopefully we'll bring it all together, is that we must proclaim. So we kind of walk through what the angels said, what the shepherds did, and what we must do this morning. I hope that this moves us and this encourages us to also proclaim. In the angels, we got a glimpse of what our proclamation should be about. We kind of see the content in which we should speak on the proclamation. And the four things that I want to bring back here is that our message of good news must be filled with salvation, of joy, of connection, kind of personalizing that message, and of course, worshiping the one who has saved us, bringing to light the God that allows this to happen. This gives us the content in which we can proclaim. It gives us a picture of what we ought to be doing and saying. In the shepherds, we see how to act upon this joyous proclamation, what to do once we hear of this joyous good news. For those of us who believe, it gives us an opportunity to believe in that message, in this good news. We can confirm it with others. We can obey it and act upon it and definitely understand what is being said to us, leading to ultimately to share this. So I hope as we think about the salvation that we might have, does that bring us joy? Enough joy to share that with others? Enough joy to bring that to light with others? To help others understand our joy as well? Are we willing to share our joyous message of salvation? Are we willing to take action because of that joy, because of what Jesus has done for us? I'm not going to assume that all of us know the full story of the good news of great joy. So I just want to take a moment right now to explain that Jesus didn't just come to be born and to live this life on earth. He also came to die on the cross for our sins, for our wrongdoings, and then to be raised up again by God. Jesus defeated sin and death so that people could be saved, so that we could be saved and have a relationship with God. This is why Jesus was born so long ago and why the angels made such a big deal about his birth to the shepherds. This is why they called him Savior, Christ, and Lord. He came to save his people from sin. He came to deliver us from eternal death. And he wants to be Lord of our hopes, of our dreams, of our purposes. This is the story of good news, of great joy. If you've never heard this story before, I invite you to come up, maybe to people who will be praying for us this morning, to a pastor, to a leader after service, and to ask about the opportunity to be saved, to be redeemed, to be delivered today. For those of us that have heard this story before and know it, I hope we will act upon it. And I hope that we will recognize the joy that we have in that salvation, that it brings us joy, enough joy to share that with others. I hope we won't hold back in sharing that type of joy to others. Let's be so joyful that it causes us to share that to those around us so that they may be amazed, just like the people with the shepherd's proclamation. Hope that they wonder at the things that we can share about our lives, about our own joyous salvation story. This amazing message from glorious angels to humble shepherds is this proclamation of joy. So often we decide to pass on information these days when we deem it worthy of passing on, right? Maybe it's a new restaurant that just opened up that serves really good food down the street. We share that very easily. Or there's a good sale going on for a few days at this store that we should also, you know, get a good deal at. Or perhaps it's the best places to visit when we're on vacation or a destination that we get tips about. We share that easily and readily as well. We're so willing to share this type of information, especially these days with our Facebook feeds and Twitter accounts and social media places and texting with one another. Information is shared at the most with these types of things. And these things are worthy of passing on, yes. They're great. But how much more is it worthy to pass on the message of Christ today? Especially in this season, as we recognize that, as we have joy in this message of good news. But even more so beyond this season, I hope that we will be encouraged to continue to share with others what it means to live in salvation, to have belief in Jesus Christ, in a Savior that has come. We have the overwhelming joy spoken to us in God's word this morning. And again, it's not exactly an angelic message. Maybe your story you feel like is not something worthy of being shared with. But know that there is power in sharing Christ. Know that there is power in sharing God's word with others. Let's be like the shepherds and act upon this joyous message. Let's also believe in this message so that we can share it with those around us. And guess what next week is? Christmas Sunday. You get an opportunity to act upon this sharing opportunity. So I want to give you a moment right now. I want you to think about perhaps somebody in your life who needs to hear a joyous message. Maybe someone needs to hear your testimony, your story of salvation. I want us to pause and think about how much joy does that bring you? Maybe we've forgotten that a little bit. That there's joy in our salvation. There's joy in the one who has saved us. So think about how might you share that with somebody else. And think about that person. Pray for them. That maybe they would be open to coming next week to hearing of a joyous message. Or maybe that you would pray for yourself, that you would share your own joyous message with somebody else. So I'm going to give you about 30 seconds just to pray and to think about that.